Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends in Christ. Have you ever been in the room together with a little kid who's getting their very first haircut? And you know how they usually respond when a stranger, right, somebody they've never met before, is walking towards them with a big pair of scissors in their hand? They do exactly what you would expect, right? They scream, they cry, they kick their feet, they try to wiggle out of the chair. No matter how many times mom or dad tell them, this isn't going to hurt, they know what they see. I don't know that person. Those scissors are very sharp, and they're coming right for my head. Whether it hurts or not, it's scary. So they react exactly how you might expect. But if you get to calm them down and the barber, the hairstylist is able to calm them down and gently bring those scissors to bear, they quickly realize it wasn't as bad as they built it up in their minds to be. It looks scary. But once they actually came through, and they don't look as mangy as they did when they walked in, everyone comes away feeling much better, even if they didn't necessarily enjoy it at first. And dear friends, that's how we react when it comes our turn to get a little pruning from the master gardener. Jesus makes it very clear in our gospel text today using his beautiful metaphor about vines and branches exactly which of those things we are. You and I, we're branches. We grow out from the vine, the root, the source of our life. But we don't just grow here, there, and everywhere. There's a gardener at work. And God, our Heavenly Father, knows how best to tend his garden, the branches of his church, so that we grow and produce fruits. The trouble for you and me, though, comes in understanding that sometimes that tending doesn't just come with watering, doesn't just come with feeding. It sometimes comes with pruning. And those shears are terrifying. After all, wouldn't you understand if a plant in your garden suddenly somehow gained some sentience, was able to understand what was going on? When you walk up to it with your gardening shears, how is that plant going to feel, right? Get those things away from me. What are you coming to do? Cut me down? Cut me off? End me? How is the plant supposed to know that unless the gardener does away with the broken twigs, the dead pieces of fruit, the dying leaves, that it's never really going to thrive? But that's exactly how Jesus describes God, the perfect gardener's work in our gospel text for today. One important thing to keep in mind, dear friends, is exactly who Jesus is talking to. His audience is believers. It's people who have already come to know what he teaches in his word. He makes it very clear in verse 3. He says, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." This is God in heaven talking to his people, to his church, to those who have already been made clean because of the word, because of the power of the word working with the water in baptism. Baptized children of God, what does your Lord have to say to you? You crossed that milestone. You were baptized into the name of Jesus. Your sins were washed away. A new person was created in you. Was that all God had in mind for you? It's just a short time ago that you welcomed some new members into your number during confirmation. Dear confirmants, was that it? Has God finished doing his work on you? Have you graduated and now everything is going to be easy and smooth and free? Dear friends, these are important things that God does for his people, but he has more plans for us than to simply let us go and let us grow untended. He keeps working on you. But the issue that Christians face is in how God goes about tending to his people. The first step is being connected to Jesus the vine. And friends, that's already done. Praise God that it is. Through faith, you have already been connected to what your Savior has done for you. His life, his death, his resurrection that pays for all of your sins and gives you the hope of heaven. But that's only the first step in the life of God's garden. Because the branches need tending to if they're going to endure until the end. And God wants his garden to endure to the very end. And so here we are, meant to be branches of the true vine. God wants us to be connected to Christ and to live and to thrive because of that connection. But to make us grow to the fullest, sometimes that involves a little pain for us. We talked a little while ago about how terrifying it would be for the branch to understand that the gardener was coming to cut and prune. But when the dead bits are gone and the broken twigs have been done away with and the rotten fruit is removed, that plant can finally really thrive. And so when God comes to us, shears in hand, and says, "It's time for you to undergo a little pruning," dear friends, how do we respond? Are we like the little kid in the chair getting their first haircut? Screaming, kicking, crying, "Get those things away from me!" Because the idea of suffering, the idea of being tested by God, makes us pretty uncomfortable. No, uncomfortable isn't quite the word. It makes us terrified. We hate when we have to be inconvenienced in our lives or made uncomfortable, much less actually suffering. But friends, that's exactly how God's careful tending sometimes comes to us. Jesus makes it very plain to us that there's no escaping the gardener's shears. Right away in verse 2, he says, "Every branch that does not bear fruit, God is going to cut off." The first warning for us. Failing to maintain our connection to Jesus, the vine, can lead to death. But even if not, Jesus goes on to say, "And God, the gardener, prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it will bear more fruit." The writer of the Hebrews explains this process like this. He says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest." You grow fruit. "A harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Because, dear friends, God intends to save sinners by grafting them into Jesus' life-saving vine. But that's not all. He also intends for us to produce fruits as a result. To live a life that walks in step with our Savior, to live a life that follows his commands instead of our natural born sinful thoughts and desires. And of course, the first thing that makes us realize is the real consequences of being cut off from the vine. Jesus is crystal clear about that in our reading today too. "If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." First, dear branches, God keeps us humble. Because we didn't choose or cause ourselves to be grafted into that vine. Only the Holy Spirit working through the means of grace can do that. And so Jesus rightly says, without me, you can do nothing. Unless we're connected to that vine, not by our own works, but purely by God's grace, do we have the hope of life at all. But once we have that connection, Jesus warns us to be careful about maintaining it. It can wither and fade if we fail. Perhaps if we take up an I'll get to it later sort of attitude about our personal devotional life or spending time in prayer. Or take an I'm too busy right now approach to setting aside time for worship. When we do that, we damage our connection to Jesus, the vine. Through studying his word, by receiving his body and blood in the sacrament, by being reminded of what God did for us at our baptisms, these things strengthen our faith that keeps us connected to what gives us eternal life. We keep ourselves away from those things. When we don't spend time in the Word, when we don't spend time in fellowship with our brothers and sisters, our fellow branches, when we don't give God the gardener opportunities to feed and nourish us through that Word, our connection to Jesus is damaged, even breaks. And without Him, we can do nothing. And it might be, friends, sometimes that the reality of Jesus' metaphor here slips our minds and we forget that God tells us that he chooses to work on us and through us. We forget the way that God tells us he chooses to work in this world. God says he works through means. He works through you. And maybe it happens that we start to hope that if we just maintain our connection that way, that we spend all our possible time studying God's word, that we're faithful with our study of scripture, that we're consistent in our worship attendance, that if we teach and share what we know to our children, to our neighbors, that God's going to leave us, obviously healthy branches, completely alone. But that's not how gardening works. That's not how the perfect gardener tells us he approaches the way that he keeps us growing. Because Jesus assures us that the gardener is bringing his shears for the healthy and the dead branches alike. He prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it will bear more fruit. It's not a matter of if God, the gardener, is going to do a little pruning on you. It's a matter of when. And it can come for any number of reasons. But whether a person's rejected the truth and fallen away from grace and needs to be cut off for the good of the rest of the branches, or an otherwise healthy person, healthy branch, needs to be humbled with some of God's discipline so that we lose bad habits and start to really produce spiritual fruit, God, the wise gardener, knows what we need and when we need it. He knows how best to tend his church so that it thrives, whether in feeding to build us up or in pruning to cut away things that distract, things that harm our faith that keeps us connected to Christ the vine. And one thing stays true through the whole process, because always, always, every step of the way, you and I, dear branches, we can take none of the credit. The Holy Spirit connects people by faith in Jesus, to Jesus the vine, through the sacraments, through baptism, through receiving Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper, through listening to and studying God's word. And in turn, Jesus the vine feeds his people, feeds them with his own body and blood in the sacrament. And all the while, God the gardener prunes away everything that hinders us, everything that could cause us to stumble or turn aside from living a life that pleases him. And friends, he's going to do that by wisely and well allowing even trials, even suffering into our lives. With their work, with God's tending, we grow. And at the same time, we realize that without it, we die. And then Jesus shares something profound. To really bring home just how much God has done for his people, to show just how far he has brought you, Jesus says this: "My Father is glorified by this, that you continue to bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." From the very beginning, this hasn't been by us, but it's been for us. We didn't choose God. God chose us. We were helpless. We were cut off. We were destined for death, unable to live on our own because of our sins. But God found us even when we were his enemies, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, grafted us into his life-saving vine, and now, by grace, from first to last, we're not just part of his church, but he's pleased with us. The wisdom and careful tending of God leads to God's people naturally producing fruits of faith. If you go to Galatians, you'll find Paul making a list of them: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things God's people naturally produce as they stay rooted in Christ the vine. But part of that process is responding to God's pruning. God's people respond to his pruning through the suffering, through the testing he allows into their life by naturally serving their neighbor to glorify their Father. It's what you do. Apple trees produce apples. Grapevines produce grapes. And God's people, when he does his careful tending work to them, even if it causes us some pain in the moment, always results in fruits of faith. And when you, dear people of God, produce fruits that God has freed you to make, he is pleased with you. And all it takes is God taking just a little bit off the top. Like a wise barber, like an accomplished gardener, he knows just when, just where, and just how to continue to work on you, so that you can continue to be molded into the likeness of your Savior, not later, not just in heaven as we anticipate receiving glorified bodies on the last day and spending eternity at his side, but being molded into his likeness right here, right now, in this life. And what an amazing thing it is to consider that right now, right here, in this life, God is pleased with you. He didn't just find you when you were unlovable and his enemy and make you alive again. He made you his own child, a co-heir with Christ. And as a part of that status, he truly loves and is pleased by even you and even me. He gives us life, and he gives us purpose. A new, greater purpose. Not only to live for ourselves, Not even just to live to glorify Him, but to glorify God by serving our neighbor. As we produce those fruits call to others. Call to those dead and dying branches that aren't yet grafted into the vine. And call to them to show them the truth, the value of being rooted in Christ. In you, the people of this world, your neighbors, your co-workers, whomever else you might have the opportunity to share the glory of your faith with, can see the value of God's careful tending. And through you, God calls others to be grafted into the vine of Jesus. A new and greater purpose for your life. And through your service in His name, He provides. Not only for your own needs, but for the needs of others. For the weak, the needy, the lonely, the oppressed. All the people that God has called you to serve. But most importantly of all, the gardener gives you what you need most. Your salvation. The promise of heaven. And as you stay rooted in Christ the vine, comes a living and enduring hope. A living and enduring hope that allows you to endure any trial and any testing until we reach the eternal life to come. So, dear friends, until that day comes, hear the voice of your Savior this morning and stay connected to Him. Stay connected to Christ, your vine, because in Him you have life, and through Him others will come to know Him as the source of life. And stay connected to Christ the vine, even in the midst of suffering and trials. Because God, your perfect gardener, is continuing to work on you, to produce in you and through you a harvest of righteousness far beyond our understanding. And that we will not see until that last day, when we will stand up with a host of people gathered from every nation, tribe, people, and language to worship at the feet of our perfect gardener, who has tended us through this life and into the life to come. Until that day, amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in our risen Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.